Okay, so we left off talking about your how you always wanna give up to the community, and I think that's so great. Thank you for sharing that. So I wanna get back to the questions. So what did you learn as a student activist at Cal State LAID, and what would you have wanted to learn?
That's a really good one. Ah, man, that's a good one.
Take your time.
Guess I'll say that I learned that change doesn't happen in a vacuum. Just because you're at a university where you're learning about new theories, new research, new how to write, all those kinds of things. It doesn't mean that other people outside share your worldview. And sometimes I think I learned, well, I learned that the university, it's a very like small group of people relative to the whole city and state and country. And that sometimes you're talking to the same people that agree with you already, because those are your friends, those are your professors, you know. And I think just knowing that prepared me to be better outside of school. I learned like people skills. I learned that intellectual sort of rigor that you need to be able to like go out into the world and like face it, you know, and then just like learn different things from different people. Having that diversity of perspective, it's really important. What I wish I would have learned, well, I also learned like the resilience of people like me, right? Just being able to interact with a lot of undocumented students who shared a common goal of improving their lives and giving back to the community or doing different things, you know. That's one thing I also learned was that it's okay, like if people want to do different things, not everybody has to be an activist like me. Some other people wanted to be teachers. Other people wanted to go into business, into accounting, real estate. And I feel like people can make a social work, you know, people could make an impact regardless of their field. And that was something that I was like, no, you know, we need everybody to go out into the streets and fucking protest the system, burn it down, you know. That sort of it took me a while just like developing that patience for people who didn't want to be act do activism, you know. I always felt like, well, then shit is not gonna change. The fact that you're changing your life, you know, that you got an Erica Glaser scholarship. Like, okay, great, you know. So you have a scholarship, but what about the thousands that can't? And we can only arrive at that change if we all come together and organize and like really build something up. But people just, some other people just want to do bake sales, you know. They wanted to raise money for scholarship. I wasn't as interested as that. So I just kind of learned that that's fine. That's all part of building a movement, is that people have different roles within movement building work. Yeah, it just took me longer than I expected to learn that. And to just like, you know, just roll with the people that are gonna roll with you. Like, don't spend like as much time trying to convince other people that your worldview is right, you know. The people who want to do the work are gonna do the work.
Right. So then you wish you would have learned that sooner.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. And was it like in a specific thing or experience that you had that make you realize this?
Well, I think it was just different moments. So I was like, It was kind of like at meetings with Surte, sometimes like, 40 people will show up or more, or like certain things, usually like at meetings or like a conference, like a lot of people will show up, or like we were talking about scholarships or something, a lot of people were interested, or we would have a workshop on like resume building or like network, like more people will show up, right? But when it came to like, we're gonna go protest the president's office, or we're gonna go out on May Day March, or we're gonna go do something political, sometimes like it wasn't the same turnout that we would get, like if it was just like a fundraising event or like something else. So that was just like, it would rub me the wrong way. I'm like, why are people not down, Like, come on, we need to not just look at ourselves, but we're part of a larger system. Mm-hmm. So that was like sometimes like a frustration that I had. And I'll be very blunt about it with other people. I'll be like, dude, like, why are you not, stepping up? Or like, yeah.
When you share this frustration with other Surtejistas, did that bring some sort of conflict?
Probably, yeah. I'm pretty sure, yeah. Yeah, because they didn't want to step up, or like sometimes a lot of times they also didn't have the political analysis, mm-hmm. of understanding, like they hadn't, yeah. I think that people have different majors, so like for me, I did political science or like sociology classes, like there was a class through Summer Bridge which Steve Teixeira used to be the director of. There was a class called Race, Class, and Gender in the United States, and they would teach you really about all the systems of oppression that keep people of color like down. And like that was a really big eye opener for me, because we don't get that in high school, and a lot of people don't get it in college because they don't take those sort of classes, So yeah. A lot of people didn't have that analysis. They just came with like their lived experience, the things that they wanted to pursue. Yeah, I think it definitely created conflict for me, specifically with a lot more of the business majors, just folks that were more focused on the business capitalist side of things, and I had a critique of capitalism, and so I think that naturally was like a conflict there, mm-hmm. because we in college we're idealists, and I wanted to end capitalism. That was like the whole thing, it's the root of evil, sort of speak. Yeah. But the business majors in Surte, they want to perpetuate capitalism. They want to go into the system, and they had this thing of like, oh, if I make money, if I make it and I start a business, then I'm gonna be able to give back to the community, and if I become rich, right, mm-hmm. then I can give and I can start my own scholarship fund. At the end of the day, like, how many of them have actually started a scholarship fund is my question, and yeah, you might be able to give back here and there, but I think that again that has to do a lot more with conducting an analysis of an individual as opposed to tackling a problem on its root causes and the system that it perpetuates. So yes, there was conflict with, especially with me, with other Surtistas around that, because I didn't agree with it. Like, I don't agree with just saving the individual. Mm-hmm. Right? And like you making it or you making money or you doing a business doesn't mean that it's going to change the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, just like we've been able to do through the union or through other community organizations where we fight for policy wins and policy campaigns and raising wages for 5 million people. Like, if we raise wages for 5 million people in California, that costs like what, maybe $2 billion, Like, how rich do you have to get as an individual for you to create that sort of change?
Right.
And so that's where, like, I didn't agree with, like, some people. And there was, like a back and forth because I was like, no, like, we need to change the system, not make you rich.
Right. Yeah. So there were some sort of conflict, right? Because the different ideologies, the different ways that you envision changing the world to become a better place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, now, like, just took me longer to understand that it was like, at the end of the day, we should meet people where they are. You know, that's my analysis now. It's like, yeah, there were business people, but like, yeah, they were only interested in scholarships and sort of like the financial aspect of Surge. But that's okay, you know? I should have approached it like, oh, you know, they don't have the political analysis yet. Let's do workshops or let's do trainings or let's do more of that awakening their political horizons or expanding the political horizons in that way, you know? But it just felt the time that we didn't have the time, that we were constantly in a mode of crisis, especially around immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And I see now that that's intentional by the other forces that we're fighting, you know, the right wing, conservatives. They're always manufacture a crisis at the border, you know, it always feels that we're responding to things.
Right.
But sometimes we need to take a step back, and it's something that I think I'd learn when I became a more mature organizer. It's like meet people where they are and slowly try to shift them. And having like a ladder of engagement right now, like that's a model of organizing that I've used. It's like they start here, you know, little by little, you're like, people take different actions. That's like to activate people to create change, you know. But at that time, I don't think I had those tools or that understanding. Also, come to age and just being in the field for a lot longer. So right. I wish I would have learned that, you know, just having more of a organizing model to follow, and understanding that not everyone's an activist and we should meet them where they are. Like if they come in with homophobic views or with like white privilege views or like white supremacist understanding, you know, or like they don't like black people or whatnot, like all those things make an organization really messy. And I at that time I didn't have the tools to really like express it or like just look at it in a systematic view. You know, this is where people are coming from. I was just more focused on like, let's do shit now because the world is burning and we need to take action, you know? And I felt like in that process, probably like people were not, I was trying to motivate people, but they probably saw it as like, oh, estoy estudiando loco. It was like, yeah, it's probably radical. Some of that going on. Yeah.
So do you think that hinders some of Surge's achievements, having those internal conflicts?
I would say probably yes and no. Like, I feel like there were other counterbalance forces, you know, Surge that had like a different perspective and that they would do their own thing. It wasn't like, fundraising was always like a top priority, you know, like raising money for scholarships, for people to stay in school. So I wasn't opposed to that. It was just that not my, that's why we had like chairs, you know, those particular brackets of the organization. People are really great, like about giving business advice or how to start your own business, how to like very like specific skills. Like Jorge was really good at that, and Norma. They were always really good about like, oh, if you have a 19 number, how to start a business, how to do your taxes, like very like specific things to improve people's lives, you know? So I felt like we had that. So there was like different people that would play different roles. in the organization. And yeah, of course, I think it also like it did create friction because there was like different worldviews, like what you said, you know, different ways of looking at the world, so to speak. But that's okay. I think it was always like part of like, it's always gonna be there. It's probably still there right now, you know?
Right.
Of like the people that are probably saying like, fuck the system, you know, fuck white privilege. Let's not work with white people, you know? That type of stuff. And then other people are probably gonna be like, well, no, you know, white, we could have white allies, or you know, we should do more like making sure people stay in school. All that. I'm sure it's still there, like it might take different shapes and forms, but I think all those things are always in an organization.
Right.
But by all accounts, from the outside, the organization is still there. So we did something right.
Right.
We won awards, you know, we took over, like, we had a voice in student government. It has always been a respected organization. Oh, I guess by all those metrics, it's been pretty successful.
Right, and then you all created this family vibe, right? This community, this Thai community vibe, which mm-hmm. sounds like from all the other surgistas that I have talked to.
Definitely, yeah. I've gone to people's surges, like people's weddings, the kids, you know.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, so see, I heard the stories, and even between siblings, right? We have these conflicts and confrontations, but at the end of the day, we are family and we work together to push forward.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes, okay. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, coming back to the questions. How did your participation in a student activism across the LA shape your personal, professional, political, philosophical growth? How did it shape your activism within the immigrant rights movement after graduation? So we talk a little about this, but so how did your experiences across the LA with your activism make you get here? I think that's the question, right?
Yeah, well, we talked about that already. I felt like I was pretty connected to the community organizations because of the work that I was doing at Surge. I got to meet like a lot of different elected officials, community leaders, community organizations. So I developed this network of people that I knew. And then so after that, it wasn't hard for me to find a job after, you know. After graduation, I started working at Californians for Justice, which is a statewide youth organizing community organization.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a reflection of a lot of work that I was already doing or that I did as a young activist. And it was just a matter of like, transferring my skills and building a movement, but it was more like outside of school, right? It was like creating power for young people mm-hmm. across the state, you know, to push for to end the school to prison pipeline, to give a voice to students in the classroom, but also end a lot of the harsh school discipline policies that existed at Long Beach Unified and LAUSD. And then, yeah, we won like several bills in Sacramento mm-hmm. to ensure that young people are not criminalized, or that behavior of students of color is not criminalized, but it's looked at through a fuller lens of like understanding like where folks are coming from, that not everything, being late to class, you know, like you shouldn't be suspended or given detention for. It's like, or, you know, looking at family backgrounds, making sure that we have more mental health services for students, more counselors, that sort of approach. So that was really, I felt like Surge or activism at Castellet really gave me the tools to to be able to fit right in into my professional career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just like with Sudhir, we were always the organizing events, making flyers, being like writing a grant. I remember we wrote a grant for this documentary that I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
So grant writing experience out of college is super cool, you know, to have that on your resume. We got funded for through a foundation for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was super dope. Like, I felt like it was just, it gave me so many tools in terms of like meeting people, but also like hard skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. It sounds like everything that Surge taught you were the perfect transition into your work life, right? After graduating.
Yeah, I was pretty much doing the same work, except we got paid after graduation.
And so you get paid. And then you work on different issues, right? Not just within that the community of helping the students, but also the older students in California, the workers and all that. So just making a bigger impact, I think.
Yeah, it's like we talked a little bit about intersectionality, right? How like different issues are connected.
Mm-hmm.
So like the school to prison pipeline, the people who usually get like suspended and then they enter the prison system because they skip school like a few times, the bus was late, you know, it's like that has to do with transportation justice, like being poor, like they can't afford their families to drop them off at school, you know, things like that. People act up because of shame or like, you know, anger that they have about the systems of oppression that they face every day. So it was like connecting a lot of those different dots for me. It wasn't just working on, we gotta get papers and immigration, you know. It's right. Like, yes, our stories are much more than being an immigrant. We live in these communities with, regardless of citizenship, people are facing underfunded schools. Schools in Beverly Hills are funded way better than like schools in South Central. You know, schools in La Cañada have the best teachers, qualified teachers. The schools in Pico Union don't, you know? So it was like connecting a lot of the dots and building a mass movement, right? That's more like a united front of different people doing different struggles, but all with the sense of justice and trying to do a paradigm shift and changing policies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I felt that was really important, like after college, because in college we were very focused on undocumented students. Because that was our own lives, you know? But I feel that we should have talked more about, like, or having that broader sense of movement building, solidarity with other, like, other movements. We sort of did it certainly did some of that with, like, some of the groups on campus. But again, I feel like the university is this, like, there's great ideas at the university, you know? Like professors sometimes have really great research. They write a paper and it gets published in an academic journal, you know? But like 20 people read it, like they're students, you know? But like imagine taking that piece of research and then creating a video that goes viral. Mm-hmm. Or like making sure that research is part of a campaign, policy campaign that we could use when we go talk to legislators in Sacramento, you know, talking points for when folks go up to like the Capitol Hill, you know, when they go on TV and they share their story or like they get interviewed by MSNBC or CNN or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a piece that's missing in academia. It's like, well, 30 people read it because they, you know, they were the only ones who had access to the academic journal.
Right.
And you need like a student account, you know?
Right.
And a lot of times academics are not connected to community. It's very rare.
Yes.
like at Castor Lake, there's only like a few people that I've seen, like maybe Abdullah, you know, professor from Pan-African Studies. She's the co-founder of Black Lives Matter. She's probably like the highest, like the most visible professor at Castor Lake. She's been really dope organizer, you know. But we don't have a lot of it. And I just feel like
sometimes
there was that piece missing of like, great, we're doing things at the university, but in the larger scale, like, are we really moving the governor, for example, to do something about it, moving Congress and moving senators, you know, to actually implement some of the policies that we want?
Right. Yes, and I feel like a lot of the new researchers like myself do see these gaps, and hopefully, right, this next cohort is able to change things up. I totally agree with that. Then we need to go bigger. Mm-hmm. It's that time.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So again, coming back to the questions, and we're almost done here. And this has to do with the changes that occur across the lake as part of Surge and you being part of it. What do you think were the impact of the activism you all did to the bigger picture of the immigrant rights for students?
Yeah, I think you really position undocumented young people at the forefront of the immigrant rights movement. You know, for a while it had been like, I don't know if that's a different question, like whether it was good or bad, but like I think for a while, like people thought about undocumented or people without papers as like, you know, a farm worker or somebody who just got here, they don't speak English, they don't like, you know, they're working at a, you know, as a security guard, like very like stereotypical Latino jobs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what it did is really shifted the narrative and the what it means to be undocumented students.
Mm-hmm.
And by default, like expanded the definition of what it means to be an American, because a lot of young people who are undocumented, like some didn't even speak Spanish, you know, but like they don't have a lot of connection to like their country of origin.
Right.
They just have family, but they have never visited. So I think it really shifted the conversation, especially in California, because students were the ones really that were holding accountable elected officials in Sacramento, you know, and in our city. In LA to really create and implement change. Plus, young people have the tools, you know, they have the language, they have the resources and the time, because as a student, you do have more time than if you're like a single mom, you know, working two jobs, like, you know, you go to CVS, then you go to like McDonald's or something, right? Like, and then you have kids at home, you have a husband or, you know, whatever, like people are super busy.
Yes.
As a student, you have the tools, the time, the creativity and imagination to really bring about change. And I think that's probably like the biggest shift that happened. And like, you see like a before and after, like in California, we were able to win the California Dream Act, driver's licenses, push back on ICE, you know, advocated for DACA on a national scale, like really like super, like California, you know, was an anti-immigrant state with Proposition 187. This was in the 90s, you know, and the shift that it took from the 90s, 187 to the 2000s, like was monumental, you know. We're a very, like, Pete Wilson was governor of California, one of the most anti-immigrant governors in history.
Right.
It was pretty much like Sheriff Joe Arpaio in Arizona, you know? That's how California used to be. But the shift that it took place and how was in large part driven by young people of color and like young immigrants, you know, to that it took to shift the tectonics of the state in a fucking, in a way that we have never seen before at such a rapid pace.
Right. Yeah.
In-state tuition, you know, financial aid, access to scholarships, driver licenses, fucking permit. Healthcare has been a big ass win. Providing like access to Medi-Cal, access to foods, like all kinds of public benefits has been a remarkable achievement. And I'm not saying it's all like because of the actors and with Cast LA, but I think it became a pillar of creating this massive change in California.
A model, right? To vocalize your stories and sharing them with people to see the other faces, as you mentioned, what it means to be a new American and what it really meant to be an undocumented person.
Yeah, but it's also creating real change, real policies that benefit hundreds of thousands of people. And that's a shift that has happened, that happened in California incredibly rapid. You know, like Arizona is still anti-immigrant, you know, but you didn't see the change that you saw in California and other states. It's just incredible, I think.
Yes, I totally agree with that. So we are done with the questions. I want to thank you so much for giving me the time to talk to me and share your experiences, your stories with me. Is there anything else you would like to add, something that you feel we didn't cover?
No, I'm really happy you are doing this research and documenting. And just write that sort of, continue that story and that history, you know.
Thank you.
So I appreciate your work and everything that you're doing and the team is doing to make this a reality.
Yes, and we hope to. Thank you. Thank you. Gracias. So yeah, we hope to elevate this work, and this won't be a paper that's going to sit in only 10 people. We're going to read. I promise that it is part of a bigger vision and a bigger project. And yes, thank you so much for that time.